Well, our scripture reading today is found in Philippians chapter 2, and we'll be reading from verse 5 through verse 11. Mine might be a little different. I'll be reading from the King James, but please follow along. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and has given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." This is God's word. Junior Church, you're dismissed downstairs. Brother Tony, we look forward to you bringing the message. Chained to the pulpit.
So this is a dress down day for me. Usually I'm having three-piece suit, but I decided to show off the shirt and come to the flannel shirt wearing church, and I might make this a habit.
That's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine.
You remember this, right?
God's glad. Thank you. Here you
go, brother. Okay. I'm used to a lapel mic, but this will work. Maybe this will keep me from walking around so much. How's everybody doing today? I feel like I should wake you up with a song. By the way, I really enjoyed the praise and worship. Some of it I had to walk around a little bit, but it was very, very worshipful. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Let me start with a greeting. This is a church in the Wildwood. There's a song that we sing, the church in the Wildwood. Amen. And I'm very fond of this church, even if Kevin's not here anymore. I had the pleasure of talking to your new pastor the other day. He seemed like a really delightful person. I can't wait to meet and talk with him, go out to lunch with him. I guess the three of us are going to get together, him, myself, and Kevin, at some point. Okay. But every time I come here, you're always a blessing to me more than I am to you. But I guess I can say we have a mutual blessing, amen? You know, I'm, well, thank you very much. One of the reasons why I enjoy you folks, because you're so accommodating.
Sorry about that.
Now, you're going to make me walk, so if I fall, you're going to have to pick me up.
Okay. Well, don't.
I always pick on that brother. I really do. All right, set. Okay, can you guys hear me better now? All right, so Moses had his Aaron and Hur, okay? And this is my Aaron and Hur. This is Pastor Joe Verdura. He hangs out with me to keep me in line. And this is a councilman. I'm speaking prophetically, Councilman Marcus Williams. He dresses like a councilman. Look at him. Boy, he's sharp today. I couldn't get him to dress down. You know, I got a lot of vision. But you know, a person that's got a lot of vision, they need administrators. They need people to come and kind of help them make their vision a reality. And that's what they do for me. These are two of the administrators for the Gladiators Ministry. And I praise the Lord for them. They know how to get things done. So I'm going to take five minutes or so. You can time it if you want. I'm going to take about 5 minutes or so to give you an update on the Gladiators Ministry. At 72 years old, I had a birthday December 13th. I feel like I need to sing a song. Oh, happy birthday to me. Oh, happy birthday to me. May I find Jesus near every day of the year. Oh, happy birthday to me. Oh, happy birthday to me. Maybe the best year I've ever had. Amen. But anyhow, 72, people are asking me, and if they're not asking me, they're thinking it. When are you going to retire, man? I already did. I retired from the pastorate, and the stress almost killed me. No, literally, I had a hard time with the stress as a pastor. I had too much energy. But anyhow, I retired into the ministry of an evangelist, and that's given me some longevity. I don't have to worry about the care of the churches. It makes a difference. Ask Kevin. Amen. I'm sure that's not why he left, but he's going to live long enough. He'll understand what I'm talking about by experience. But anyhow, I tell folks I have retired. This is what I retired into, a stronger relationship with the Lord. I want to truly abide in him like I have never done before. I want to minister to him, amen, by being more Christ-like, because nothing glorifies God more than that. But you have to abide in him to do that, amen? I'm sure you understand what that means. I made a commitment to abide in a triangle love relationship with my wife like I never have before. I told her when I left today, I said, honey, you never look better than me. And she doesn't. She's a very beautiful lady. I don't know if you remember or not, but Yvonne is a very pretty lady. And I tell you, I desire her now more than I ever did before in my entire life. It gets better, doesn't it, brother? As long as you're following the Lord. I tell folks I'm retiring to spending more time with my children and my grandchildren, my four children, and my 19 grandchildren. And one of the ways that we're doing that is they're part of the Gladiators Ministry as well. How many of you know that the moment you get saved, you're drafted into God's army, and you're a spiritual gladiator as well? That's why you should buy one of these shirts if you don't have one already. Amen? But we'll be taking orders if you want me to leave them. I started to bring them today. I ordered about $700 worth of shirts for my gladiators. And I meant to bring them today in case somebody wanted to buy one, but because usually when I come, people are asking me about the shirts. But anyhow, if you want one, I'll take your size, I'll take your name, and we'll get it back to you, okay? They cost me $15 a piece, and you can give me anything you want. You know, if you don't have the money, I'll give you a shirt. Matter of fact, I said 5 minutes, but for Christmas, instead of selling the shirts, I gave them all away for Christmas presents. But anyhow, God blessed me in return. So we're not going to worry about that. But anyhow, I retired into the Gladiators Ministry. What I mean by that is that I've given my life totally and completely to it, in spite of the fact that I'm always under attack from the enemy. He doesn't want me to do this. And I'll tell you why, primarily. Because the whole ministry was birthed with the initiative to try to teach people, and it started primarily with young men in the city, how to fight the right enemy instead of allowing the enemy to influence them to kill, and steal, and destroy each other's lives. Enemy doesn't want me to do that. So please keep me in prayer. As a matter of fact, I've got some prayer cards out back. I don't know if I've ever given them to you before. By the way, there's a display table back there. You can have anything on this display table. It's totally free. This is a prayer list. Please make sure. I gave these out a couple years ago. Did you ever get one of these? If you did, raise your hand. Well, they're out back. Please take advantage of with all the stuff that's out there. It's all free. It won't cost you a thing. Okay? I want to kind of introduce you to this gospel track I wrote. If for another reason, take a look at the picture when you get a chance. My granddaughter looked at that picture. She said, Grandpa, how old were you when they took that picture? It's only about 10 years old. I do have a lot more gray. I said 10 years. I didn't say 20, but about 10 years old. It's all about the love of God, the who, the what, the when, the where, the why, and the how of God's love, how to experience and express the love of God. And I wrote a pamphlet on how God wants us to put feet on charity or on love. He wants our lives to be characterized by his love. This is really good information you like. There's some other information out there about racism, and I didn't write that. That was written by a guy by the name of a pastor friend of mine by the name of Tom Stiles. I don't know if you've ever heard of Tom. He used to be with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedom. But anyhow, a lot of good material on that table, so please, please, please help yourself with that. As far as the Gladiators ministry is concerned, I'm kind of like on my second wind. And the reason why I say that is because I got sick last year, right around this time. As a matter of fact, I had a stroke. I didn't find out until months later that I had a minor stroke. And one of the results of that is they said I've got glaucoma in my right eye as a result of the blood pressure and that sort of thing. So I'm not really overly concerned about that. Have you ever heard of Patch the Pirate? You never heard of Patch the Pirate? You've heard of Patch the Pirate? I want to be like Patch the Pirate, man. You know, he's got a pirate, this patch on his eye. And he's got a tremendous ministry to young people, kids. And I love kids, man. I really do love kids. I'm still a kid at heart. Okay, I just can't get around like I used to. That's why I walk with the cane. All right, last year, I was preaching on the Gladiators ministry in a church in outside of Buffalo. And I did Sunday school, the worship service, and the evening service. And I felt in my spirit that the enemy said that he wanted to get me. And I also felt at the same time, and I'm not being dramatic with this, I felt the Lord say, listen, the enemy wants to have you, that he can sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you. And when you're converted, I want you to strengthen the brethren. The enemy wants me to be afraid of this ministry. He keeps reminding me that I got a target on my back. You probably can't see it back there, but it gives a clear illustration of what the armor of God is like. And so when I come down, I want you guys to take time to take a look at it by way of remembrance if you need be. But a friend of mine told me, said, Pastor Tony, the enemy's been, you've been faced with spiritual warfare because you have the audacity to do what you're trying to do. Well, the fact is that we're all, if you're truly a Christian, the Bible says that God makes a promise to you. All who live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. You're going to be under attack. And we all have armor. The moment you get saved, God gives you armor. He wants you to put it on. You're going to use it. He's going to need it because God's going to make sure that you're going to need it. I don't know if I shared with you this before, because I learned more and more about the armor. People generally, when they teach on the armor of God, they take weeks to do it. They talk about each piece, and we should understand what the whole concept of the armor. But very seldom do people know how to actually put on the armor in a very practical way. And this is what the Lord has shown me. This is how you put on the armor. You put on the new man, the characteristics of the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the armor speaks of the characteristics of Christ. You put on the new man, the characteristics of the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ, by being obedient to the written word. When you put on the armor, When you're obedient to the word of God, you're putting on the armor. When you're disobedient, you're taking it off. When you put on a new man, you're putting on the armor. You know how you take the armor off? When you put on the old man. When you walk in the flesh. That's pretty practical, isn't it? Okay, so much for 5 minutes. But I'm not going to keep you long with the message. I just want to look at my notes here. What we're doing with the gladiators now is that everything that we do is to characterize the gladiators' ministry. For example, I'm doing a Love Thy Neighborhood luncheon in about a month, and the gladiators are going to help me out with it. And so everything that I do, I want to walk them through really true discipleship. Amen? Another thing is this summer we're planning a 5-day tent meeting. And Go Girl, you got to help us with that. She knows who she is. Go Girl. Amen? You got to help us with that. And we talked about it last year. We're going to do a VBS, and it's all going to be on the armor of God. So if you got any props, we need the props. And we need some young people, because I can't run around anymore. I can't jump over pews like I used to when Kevin, your ex-pastor, used to be the pastor at, a student over at Webster High School. And a lot of other things we're planning on doing. And so we pray that you'd keep us in prayer, because we're going to have we're going to finally get out a newsletter so you know exactly what we're doing with that ministry. Amen? But more than anything else, we need prayer. We need prayer more than anything else, because the work is great and large. Please make sure you get one of these. Matter of fact, I'll be standing at the door, and I'll put one in your hand. I bought 50 of them yesterday. Don't let my spending go in vain, because I don't have much money. Okay? And so anyhow, please. And once again, you know, if you want a uniform, just let me know. Mark your name down, mark your size down, and we'll ask the councilmen to keep track of all that stuff for us. Okay? All right. So anyhow, without any further ado, one other thing. There's some coffee on the back table. Now, I'm going to give away 2 bags. Could I get one of those bags of coffee, please? And this coffee is being sold by the regional director of CEF. I don't know if you know Julio Negron. He just came on to CEF not long ago. And this is the old-fashioned medium roast coffee. Anybody still into this, or are you all using the K-Reg thing? You like this? Well, listen, you know what? I'm not going to give out 2. I'll give out 1. First person, you don't know, no, you know what? The $15 for each person. Now, that goes back to their ministry. That's not me at all. Okay. I like to give away things. Julio gave me 6 or 7 of them to sell for him for Christmas. And he was surprised that I sold them all. I said, well, listen, I gave them out for Christmas presents. But you know, God provided. All right. So, without any further ado, brother, you've already prayed up. So why don't I just read through the introduction? Beloved, I praise and thank our Lord for the opportunity to celebrate our Lord's table with you. It is one of the greatest acts of worship we can and should take advantage of, one he asks and commands us to do in remembrance of his humanity, his humility, his humiliation, and his highest honor. It is in its essence the gospel in a nutshell. A nutshell that is summed up by John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Let's sing that song. All you have to do is repeat after me. For God so loved the world. Wait a minute. How can one man outsing a whole congregation? For God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son. Anybody got any rhythm in here? For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Okay, now let's really sing it and personalize it this time. For God so loved me, He gave His only begotten Son, that if I believe in Him, I won't perish. I'll have everlasting life. John 3:16. Go, girl. Whenever you go to, let them know who Go Girl is. Would you raise your hand? I forgot her first name. Okay. I call her Go Girl because she's always on the go for Jesus, man. And you already know that, right? You, if you don't go with her, you ought to go with her. Matter of fact, I want to go to the marketplace down in the city. What's the name of that place again? Public Market. I want to do some singing down there. You know, I tell you, this is kind of like a bunny trail. I come into a Panera Bread one day, and I started singing, God is love. Yes, He is. He loves you all the time. God is love. You know He is, and He loves you all the time. And you can search the whole world over, and no greater love you'll find. God doesn't love you once in a while. God doesn't love you once in a while. God doesn't love you once in a while. He loves you all the time. Everybody started clapping. The manager comes up to me, and this is a true story. And he said, listen, I want to offer you a job. I'm not joking. You're laughing at me. I'm serious. Go, girl. You're going to come and go with me, okay? Because we're going to do Valentine's Day caroling. I do Valentine's Day caroling. I don't just do Christmas caroling. When I start singing about the love of God, there's times that people start weeping because people are hurting. No, but seriously, he asked me if I would be interested. They would come up with a new position for me to entertain their customers and to encourage their employees. What a mission field. What a mission field. Be in prayer about that. I start next Friday. They want to pay me. My goodness. There's another song, and I'm watching the time, guys. I'm not going to keep you here all afternoon. I can smell the food down there, and I'm hungry. There's another song that I sing, and this is one that transcends generations and ages. You'll recognize this song. It's a remix. It goes like this. Lean on Him when you're not strong, and He'll be your friend. He'll help you carry on and on. It won't be long. You're gonna need the Lord to lean on. You just call on Jesus. You need a friend. We all need the Lord to lean on. You just will have a problem. He'll understand. We all need Jesus to lean on. Let me get to the other part. Let me finish the song. If there is a load that you can't bear, that you can't carry, He'll carry your load if you just call. If you just ask Him, here's a hook. So please swallow your pride. He resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. I start singing that song, and there's people that come up to me weeping. How did you know I needed that song? People are hurting, folks. People need the Lord. And God wants us to take advantage of the gifts that He gives us to encourage them in the Lord. God opens up doors. I miss my stick, my cane, because when I throw it down, it turns into a snake. At least that's what all the kids think. And I tell them that, you know. I'm not lying. I'm just having fun. Beloved, therefore we can't Beloved, therefore we can't afford to take it lightly nor unworthily. If we do, we are in danger of bringing damnation or God's judgment to ourselves for not discerning the Lord's body, according to 1 Corinthians 11:29, or not recognizing the sacredness of our Lord's sacrifice and his lordship. Beloved, who and what makes us worthy? The Holy Spirit does, as he convicts us and encourages us to confess and forsake sin in our lives so that we will keep us from having fellowship with God and the brethren. 1 John 5:1-10. Not the penalty of sin, of which was paid for by the blood of Christ for Christians, but the day-to-day sins that we don't confess, don't forsake, and don't even think about. Some of us. The wages of sin, it should be, there's a typo there. The wages of sin is still death. Can I get an amen? Beloved, it's been said by many, it should say many, that these seven verses are the most significant seven verses concerning the gospel in the Bible. Please pray for me as I try to preach from these seven verses in about 3 hours. No, 30 minutes. So I can get out of my brother's way. Our celebration with this, we'll start our celebration with this old hymn. It too is the gospel in a nutshell. The title of the song is Not Our Day, But One Day. Brother, do you have that on the screen? Okay, you want me to do that a cappella? We'll sing with the sound, okay? One day when you got that, man was filled with his praises. One day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt amongst men. My example is he. Living. Do me a favor, brother. Get rid of the sound. I'll do a cappella. You guys are doing good without me. Come on. As he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on the tree. Suffering anguish, despised and rejected. Bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. You're doing great. One day they left him alone in the garden. One day he rested from suffering free. You should help me. Freely forever, one day he's coming. Amen. One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone, away from the door. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. My sins far away. Amen. You guys really ministered to me singing that song. You really did. Father, I know there's a lot of prayer that's prayed already. And the one that comes to mind, Lord, as your word says, you resist the proud, you give grace to the humble. And so I come before you humbly, dear God, how you can use a bungler like me. I stumble and bumble all over the place. But yet, dear God, your spirit still uses me. And I pray that you'd use me now, dear God, please, to be disciplined with this message. I've already taken up much of the time before we get into the actual celebration. So I pray, dear God, that you'd help me, Father, please, to just listen to your spirit and say those things that the spirit wants to say or wants me to say. And Lord, get out of the way of our ceremony of actual partaking of the Lord's table. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. We've seen the text. Brother, could you put the text back on the screen? And we're going to revert back to that time to time. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If we don't have that memorized, let me encourage you to do so. The text, once again, is Philippians 2, 5 through 11. The title of our message is The Humility, Humanity, Humiliation, and the Highest Honor of Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The theme for our message is Do This in Remembrance of Me. So we begin. Let this mind me and you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Of course, you know the first blank. I made it easy enough for you. Is what, congregation, what's the first word? I'm sorry? No, it's humility. It's humility. You're already flunking out, guys. So the first blank is humility, the humility of Christ. The key words is mind, form, equal, and reputation. Let's look at the first word. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. What mind? This mindset, this attitude. Some say that the greatest virtue there is humility. I'm not so sure if it is. I know it's got to be at least number two. I think the greatest attitude is the attitude of love. But the only way that you're going to be able to experience and express God's love is you got to humble yourself. Amen? So you can't really separate the two. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. What is it? What does it mean? What does humility actually mean? It's the absence of pride. It is opposite of pride. Jesus was the epitome of humility. Pride is said to be the first sin and also the source of sin. It's the root of all sin. Well, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was sinless. Amen. No sin on him, no sin in him. He knew no sin. He could not sin. Amen? Because he was not born of the seed of mankind. He was born of the seed of the Holy Ghost. Can I get an amen? He couldn't be prideful. He is the example of humility. The Word of God says he's meek and lowly in heart in Matthew 11:29. Let this mind, this mindset, this attitude, this pattern of thinking. No one's more humble than God. We see a downward progression as we look at these verses in reference to humility. Jesus personified humility. By nature, he defined true humility in his very essence. And the Word of God says, let us. Are we able to have the same attitude of humility than Christ, that Christ had? Of course so, because of the Spirit of God. The Spirit lives in us. He gives us the grace to do that if we truly humble ourselves. There's no telling how far we can humble ourselves if we just yield to the ministry of the Spirit. Can I get an amen? He humbled himself. The form of God. Who being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The next word is form. Form, form. What does that actually mean? He's the exact representation of God. The express image, according to the Word of God. Express image of the invisible God. Just like God always has been, always will be God. According to John chapter 1, verses 1 and 3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and this life is the light of men. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Brother, that's okay. That's okay. I'll just, for the sake of time, we won't even go there. But I'll say this. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God became a man. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Brother, my memory's not like it used to be. 1 Timothy chapter 3. If somebody would turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And this one time, I'll let you read it in your translation. I prefer the KJV. I'm too old to switch. But 1 Timothy chapter 3, and I trust it's going to say the same thing as my Bible does. Brother, would you read that scripture for me? Without controversy, Great is the mystery of godliness. God revealed. He was revealed. He was manifested in the flesh. Did you hear that? God was manifested in the flesh. He was revealed in the flesh. God became a man. Can somebody say amen? Go, girl. I need a hearty amen. All right, now, pray. You come up here with me. Where's my cane? But anyhow, let me behave myself. Brothers, keep reading, please. He was seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received. Does it get any better than that? I mean, you want proof of who Jesus Christ is. He is the second person of the Godhead, the three in one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You don't separate them. Jesus is every bit of God, always has been, always will be. That's your Savior. He said of himself, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I could stay there all day, but let me move on. It's not just he resembled God. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. What does that mean? He's equal with God in every sense of the word. He's omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, all-knowing, ever-present, and all-powerful. They say, well, how could he do all of that? Because he's God. You know, he veiled his deity. He didn't empty himself totally of his deity. He veiled it. But there were times when he showed exactly who he was. On the Mount of Transfiguration, when he walked on water, when he did certain miracles, he said, when you've seen me, you've seen I am, I am, I am. He knew what he was telling people. Do you know? This is what we're talking about today. This is who we're celebrating today. We're celebrating his humility and how he humbled himself, and it was progressive humility in a downward sense. Being in the form of God, yet it thought it not equal with God. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God because he is. Not was, is, because he's God. I guess the Greek says, and I don't know much Greek, so I'm not going to pretend that I do. It might be translated in your Bible that he emptied himself. Well, don't get it twisted. He did not empty himself of his deity. He veiled it. And he submitted himself to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He did everything in the power of the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Spirit. He was empowered by the Spirit. He walked in the Spirit. Everything that he instructs us to do, he did it. He was crucified in the Spirit. He was raised from the dead by the Spirit, because the Spirit is God. I see you nodding, brother. You agree, don't you? Amen. It's okay to say amen. All right. I tell you what, when your new pastor comes back, if you start saying amen, you can probably blow his mind. We like that. We really do. Well, let me move on. But he made himself of no reputation. Mm-mm-mm. He made himself of no reputation. What does that mean? He humbled himself. He voluntarily stepped down from his position in heaven. He was the darling of heaven, folks. Before he had the body of a human in heaven, he was the darling of heaven. He was at the Father's throne. Everybody praised him and worshiped him. The Word of God says that he that was rich became poor, that we might be rich. I mean, he had it all. But yet, he humbled himself. Brother, would you look up St. John chapter 17? And I'd like us to read verses 1 through 3. You can look with him, please. St. John chapter 17. He's got the KJV, so I can relate to him a little bit better. Thank you for that, brother. But anyhow, he was in heaven with the Father. He enjoyed fellowship with the Father. He was right there with him. But he stepped down. You know, he didn't step down from his personhood. He stepped down from his position. And he talks about that over in John chapter 17, right before he went to the cross and was crucified. Brother, would you read verses, John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. With the glory which I had with thee before the world began. He was right there with the Father. He was right there in heaven. He was in the perfect place, the perfect environment. But what did he do? He stepped down. He stepped down to come down here and to be born of a virgin and take upon the form of a servant, a slave. The Word of God said, I'm getting a little emotional. He should be served, but he gave his life a ransom for many. He could have came back as a great conqueror or the greatest person to ever live, but yet he chose to come back as a lowly servant, a lowly slave, and to wash people's feet. And he gave up everything. He didn't even have a place to lay his head. He was born in a manger. That's my Jesus, brother. You talk about the downward steps of humility. God became a man. Amen indeed. Why did he do it? You know what? Brother, would you go to Hebrews chapter 2? He took upon the form of a servant. And we'll come back to Philippians, but Hebrews chapter 2. But we see verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for me, for every man. For it became him for whom all things and by whom all things, and bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified, that's me, are all of one, and that's you if you say, for which cause he is not ashamed to call us brethren or sisters, if you got in gender issues, saying, I will declare my name unto my brethren and sisters. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Hallelujah. Listen, the devil's defeated today. He's not destroyed yet. His day is coming on Judgment Day, at the White Throne Judgment. He didn't come from hell, folks. He's going to hell. And he doesn't wear a red flannel suit either. Amen. I heard the bell. And deliver them who through fear of death, we don't have to fear that anymore, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, us, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor or to help them that are tempted. That's what we're talking about. He could have came any other way but the way he came, but he came to the lowest. I could go on, but I better not. Would you put Philippians back up again? Are you with me, folks? Who being in the form of God. Oh, I forgot to fill in the next blank. Number two. Can somebody give me the next blank for number two? I'm sorry? Oh, you got it. Humanity. And being in the form of a servant. I'm sorry. Okay, let's back up. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. 100% God, 100% man. And was made in the likeness of men, just like us. And being found in fashion as a man. I don't mean to ruffle anybody's feathers. He did not have blue eyes and blonde hair. He might have been pecan tanned. I don't know. But it doesn't make any difference. You know, people try to make God look like their image. And God told us not to do that. Amen. What we need to know is that he was a man. He was 100% man, 100% God. If we had time, we'd go to Isaiah and do this for homework. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 and 2. Where he said that, listen, he had no form of comeliness. He wasn't all that attractive that we should behold him. He did that on purpose. I mean, he could look better than Rock Hudson. A lot of you don't know Rock Hudson. Rock Hudson was a good-looking man. Billy D. Williams. You knew him, right? But no, he purposely did not come to be physically attractive. But every bit, 100% man and 100% God. He humbled himself yet again and became obedient unto death. Roman numeral number 3, which should be class, what is that? Number 3, that blank. I'm sorry? You flunked again? The answer is right up here. I'm only teasing you, honey. We can do that, right? Okay. You're coming with me. But anyhow, humiliation. What does that look like? The humiliation of Christ. Isaiah chapter 53. Let's go there. Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He had no form, nor comely. He wasn't real handsome, or comeliness. And when you shall see him, there is no beauty that you should desire him. In Isaiah chapter 52, it says that when they beat him, that they beat him so mercilessly that you couldn't even recognize him being a human being. But anyhow, he was despised. We're talking about his humility. And rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and he hid as it was were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Keep going, brother. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You know what I pray every morning? Lord, would you heal me? Would you give me a mother that healing right now? Because, Lord, I've got a tumor in the brain. I've got this glaucoma. I've got this prostate issue. I can't stop going to the bathroom. I got to wear diapers. You laugh. You get older. No, I'm talking about you, young man. Would you tell him? If he lives, it nothing happens, right? But Lord, would you give me a measure? I know you said by your stripes I'm healed, but Lord, can you at least give me grace that's sufficient for what I'm going through? He gives me grace. You know what I'm talking about, brother? All we like sheep have gone astray, all of us. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken for us. Keep going, brother. Next verse. Is that it? Oh, you did. I'm sorry. And he made his grave with the wicked. My eyesight's not that good anymore. Grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When he shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He is our propitiation. He met God's demands for our sin. By his knowledge shall the righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. You know, if we had time, we'd go over to Psalms chapter 22 and to give another vivid picture of what Jesus went through on the cross. And even speak of what happened before the cross. When he was beaten with the cat of nine tails, a whip that had broken glass and stones and tied to it, and every time he got hit with the whip, it was like getting hit nine times. I saw the movie Passion for Christ, and I got angry because there's no way that man can depict what Christ went through. But they can give you some idea. Every time they pulled the whip back, they ripped skin off. That's why when he was on the cross, he said, I can see my bones. I can. See, he was suffering the wrath of God. God hates sin that much. He loves us, but he hates sin because sin is deadly. The wages of sin is death. That's another message, so I'll stop there. The last point is this. The key words are exalted, bow, and Lord. And we won't break that down. I just want to read something to you, and then, brother, I'm going to get out your way. Thanks for your patience. Thanks for your help. This is a commentary by James McDonald, and he says it better than I could, so I'm not going to steal it and act like it's mine. I forgot what page it's on. I thought thought I wrote the page down. 1967. That was a good year. I was around then. 1967. Now there is an abrupt change. Now he's being exalted. The previous verses describe what the Lord Jesus did. He took the path of self-renunciation. He did not seek a name for himself. He humbled himself. But now we turn to a consideration of what God has done. If the Savior humbled himself, God also had highly exalted him. If he did not seek a name for himself, made himself of no reputation, God has given him the name which is above every name. If he bent his knee in service to others, even washing people's, I asked my wife. I better say my daughter, because my wife might hear this. I said, my toenails are looking like claws. You ever get that way? And I said, would you cut my toenails? Because I just can't seem to cut them. I'm not double jointed. I can't cut them. I'm not cutting. I'm not touching those things. Then I thought about it. Jesus said we need to wash each other's feet. You know, she wants me to give her a foot massage, but you won't cut my toenails? You guys want to see them? God has given him the name which is above every name. If he bent his knee in service to others, God has decreed that every knee shall bow to him. And what is the lesson? God exalted Christ by raising him from the dead and opening the heavens to receive him back to his own right hand. Remember in that prayer that my brother read, he said, Lord, I want to have the glory that I had with you before the world began. I want to have that closeness, that fellowship with you once again. But Lord, I know I got work to do. Even though he sweat great drops of blood and he asked the Lord to allow this cup to pass from him, he knew exactly every ounce of what he was going to go through. You don't think he was in the flesh, he was fearful? You don't when he was on the cross and you read Psalms 22, he said, Father, why has thou forsaken me? I'm roaring. Where are you? Please come and save me. You don't think he was afraid? Yeah, he was afraid in his humanity. I've said enough. Let me close with this. Put it back up, my son, please, just for a moment. In every tongue, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. What is that name? I don't know. It could be Jesus. It could be Lord. It could be King of Kings. I'm going to find out one day. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Talking about angels, things in heaven, things on earth, that's us, and things under the earth, the demons. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let me close with this thought. If you bow down to him now, it's salvation. If you wait till judgment day, it's damnation. If you're not saved, what's preventing you from bowing down and humbling yourself before the Lord God, what he did for you? People say, well, Why would a loving God send anybody to hell? God doesn't send anybody to hell. People go to hell because they refuse Christ. I don't want to think about hell. I don't want to believe hell. But I have to. Because the word says so. Brother, forgive me for taking more time. I had to listen to the Spirit. You're going with me. Don't forget the table, folks.
Well, thank you again, Pastor Tony, for bringing the word. Thank you for putting up with me. But let's go and take forth our Lord to those in a lost and dying world around us. As Pastor Tony says, let's put on the full armor of God and represent him well. And just as a brief benediction, as it says in the end of Philippians, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You're dismissed.